The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second half of the show is live. We'll go back to Dallas later on. We've already been there once today, getting you ready for the doubleheader, the national semifinals in the women's side. We've had some other pretty interesting conversations. How about Alabama football? It seems to come up all the time. And Jalen Milroe, who some have wondered about, a little video of a nice throw for him in practice this week. And we're going to go deep and see, is he going to be the starter? Or according to our Larry, who called in earlier, Larry the Cable Guy, it's going to be Ty Simpson. Stephen M. Smith joining us from Alabama. Stephen, always great to see you again. So help us better understand what's happening at practice, especially with the QB situation. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you, Paul. I mean, the quarterback situation is what everybody's talking about in Tuscaloosa. Spring practice going strong right now. And the clip that you just played, that was Jalen Milroe making that throw to Ja'Cory Brooks with Kool-Aid McKinstry having perfect coverage there. Looks like Jalen Milroe has been working with a private quarterback coach. You can see the mechanics, the footwork, the accuracy. He's trying to get those things cleaned up and in order. So a very good practice throw touchdown there from Milroe. But the quarterback competition still neck and neck. Now that the two guys have major experience, Nick Saban loves the things that Jalen Milroe brings, but he also loves what Ty Simpson does as well. So we're going to see which one of these two really pulls away. But from the clip that was played since yesterday, a very good start there by Jalen Milroe showing that he's not out of his thing.
We know what Milroe can do. Tell us more about Simpson, who came in a five-star stud, but most of America outside of your zip code doesn't know much about him.
Well, here's a young man, Paul, that came out of Tennessee, Westview High School in Martin, Tennessee, a coach's son. So he's been around the game for much of his life, an absolute gamer himself. When you watch Ty play in high school, he has a way of extending plays. He has a way of scrambling around, but a very exceptional arm talent. Can deliver the football into tight spaces, has a very tight spiral. You see the talents there. You see the potential is there. I remember last year's spring game, Ty Simpson came in and made some strong throws. He also showed deceptive athleticism, not necessarily as fast as Jalen Milroe is, but very quick for his size at 6'2", can definitely move around with his feet. So for him, it's how much has he grown within that playbook being a year in the system now? He didn't play much at all last year. Only played in five games, but just hand the ball off duty. But he got a year in the system. He got a year to be able to redshirt, keep that redshirt. So how much has he grown within that playbook is a big thing for him, but a very strong arm talent.
Stephen M., we're having a competition here. We haven't had one of these since 15. Well, we had one in 18, but I think everybody knew which way it was going. Is this? I realize this is interesting, and it's a great competition. But what does it say, if anything, about the difference between this upcoming season and those many in between now and in 15, when Alabama has had such success and with such great players, and now we don't know.
Well, this time around, Paul, this is another transitionary period for Coach Saban in the program. I mean, you got to think about when Nick Saban first started this thing out in 2007, the mindset was ground you out, pound you up and down, great run game, quarterback, don't make a mistake, defense, play with your hair on fire. And that got you to three national championships, 2009, 2011, and 2012. But then Lane Kiffin comes in and he upgrades your offense because he sees, hey, the game is leaning more towards spread offense, electric quarterbacks, receivers with 4-3 speed, and you have to adjust with that time. So Saban has to do that with having Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Bryce Young, and the mixture of great receivers that have come through this program. And now you're at another transitionary period where you don't have that experience at quarterback like you would normally have it. So you bring in a Tommy Rees from Notre Dame that has to develop this quarterback room while at the same time getting back to that toughness, that physicality, leaning into your running game, getting a bit more old school as you work the quarterbacks into the fray here. So this is another transitionary period for Coach Saban.
Weird time in his career to be having a transitionary period with Kirby Smart knocking on the door of three straight and Saban getting no younger, to state the obvious. So I ask you, Stephen M., who's always been confident about Alabama's chances, as we look ahead to 23, what do you see?
What I see, I look at this. If Tommy Rees has this quarterback situation, if he can develop Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson, this team has a very strong chance just due to the talent around the quarterback position is strong. You have a stacked running back room again, led by Jace McClellan. You have all types of talent at wide receiver, Jermaine Burton back, Isaiah Bond, Kobe Prentice, Ja'Cory Brooks, all of those guys back. You're bringing a strong tight end, C.J. Dupree, from the transfer portal at Maryland. You've got experience back on the offensive line. And restoring Kevin Steele back into the program as the defensive coordinator, that's a lot of great things to look at there. So I think the biggest thing, if Tommy Rees develops Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson to where that passing game is really respected, then this Alabama team, great shot at a national championship.
Well, I have to ask you about that. And Alabama is not about 10-2 seasons. They're about national championships. And Georgia is the favorite. Alabama will be among those. But, Stephen M., you know the terrain very well. How would you classify Alabama's odds, considering what we know and, more important, what we don't know?
I still say the odds are right there in Alabama's favor, because you look at this, Georgia,
Stephen M.,
yes.
Stephen M., how can you say that?
How can I say it? Because you look at what Georgia lost as well. Georgia lost a lot of players defensively, including Jalen Carter to the NFL draft. You look at Stetson Bennett gone also. Mm-hmm. You don't know who Georgia's going to have at quarterback. We don't know what Georgia in particular will look like. So Georgia right now with Kirby Smart is having to understand, okay, I got players that I got to replace, just like Coach Saban has players that he has to replace also. The big thing here in terms of Coach Saban, as I've said before, he has a track record of, he may go 1 year without a national title, he may go 2 years without a national title, but we have never seen Coach Saban complete a trifecta of three straight years and no trophy in Tuscaloosa. That track record has still been strong when you look at Coach Saban. And I think what Kirby Smart has done is he has lent that extra fuse in Saban in a sense of, hey, old school pounds you out still works. It started at Alabama. Alabama got away from it. Kirby Smart took that blueprint over to Athens and said, hey, this style still works. And Coach Saban sees that. That's why you saw the move of, okay, Pete Golding, we got to get back to big-time defense. Bill O'Brien, appreciate what you did, but we got to get back to balance on offense. We got to get back to what we started in Tuscaloosa. So I think Kirby Smart opened that eye up for Coach Saban, absolutely. But at the same time, Saban has never had 3 years straight where there's no title coming home, and he's not trying to have that start now.
Yeah, but so if I understand you correctly, Stephen, I mean, you're giving all of us the best example and the best reason for Alabama to win a national championship, that Nick Saban has never gone 3 years at Alabama without one. Is that correct?
That's a reason, but along with that reason, it's still the talent's in Tuscaloosa. Alabama and Georgia, they recruit the same type of talent. And so the difference was, Kirby Smart had more of those coaches that got in your face, that held you accountable.
But Stephen M., let me ask you this. Nobody needs to compliment Nick Saban, because we've all done it. But how did Nick Saban get to this point? How did he allow himself to get behind? And clearly he has. Otherwise, he wouldn't be making the kind of changes that he had to make. And I know you were calling for it when I saw you last in Tuscaloosa. How did the greatest of all time allow Kirby Smart to sneak ahead of him in terms of philosophy, if indeed that happened?
Well, this is where Saban at times is, Paul, loyal to a fault. And we've seen that also. He's hung on to coaches that he shouldn't have hung on to. He's hung on. We even go back to, he stuck with Jalen Hurts the entire 2016-2017 season when everybody else was saying Tua Tagovailoa, better passer, can get receivers the ball. And that didn't click for Saban until the national championship game. He was down against Georgia. And so he had to go to Tua Tagovailoa because there was no other option. He became loyal to a fault. And that's one of Saban's biggest things is sometimes he's so loyal that he's too loyal and doesn't know when to cut the rope at the appropriate time.
He clearly did it, but are you suggesting that he didn't do it too late, that he did it in time with all the changes that he's made with an unknown quarterback and time ticking, that he can figure it out enough to win a national championship this year? That's what you're telling us.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. I think he cut it at just the right time. I think if he would have waited another year, then it could have been some serious issue. But I think he got it at the right time. I think he got the coaches in that he needed to be in. And from the players that I've been able to speak with, the coaches that have brought in, Kevin Steele and Tommy Rees, they have already started changing the mental of the program right now and getting back to, hey, what happened these last 2 years and the last couple of years, that's not us. We got to get back to us. And the coaches that he's brought in, they're working, they're getting Alabama back to Alabama. So Saban caught it in the nick of time.
Well, hold on. You said he caught it in the nick of time. He got it at the exact right time. Would you not agree that maybe he got it late? Maybe had he done it a year earlier, Alabama would have been in a better position and would now be trying to catch back up?
If he would have caught it a year sooner, it would have been better. It would have been more advantageous if he would have caught it a year sooner. But like I said, at times Saban has to see for himself, I let this go on longer than what I should have. So that's why he caught it now. Should he have caught it earlier? Absolutely. But he caught it now and not later than now.
And finally, you said it a couple of times, and I'll put you on the spot. Who wins the national championship in 2023?
All right. Who wins the national championship in 2023? That's a good question here. Whew, college football.
I thought you just answered it. I thought it was Alabama.
Oh, it's Alabama, but I had to give you the dramatic effect as always.
Okay. I just wanted to make
I had to give you the dramatic effect.
You weren't looking for an exit to run out.
Oh no, definitely it's Alabama. You know, I gotta be a little bit dramatic with you. So Alabama.
Okay. Stephen M. Smith picking Alabama to win the national championship. We'll take a short break. Back with my
show. You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back here. Late on a Friday afternoon. Let's check out Jason in Georgia next. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I was going to go after Legend and Paul, and I mean Paul, Legend, Jim, and Larry. But after that Alabama beat reporter there, I think I'm going to change that. I mean, he just said that we're going to flip the switch just like that, and we're going to copy what Georgia's doing. because we did it first, that we could just flip the switch.
And yeah, we're going to admit that Nick Saban is going to copy
I didn't really what Georgia is doing.
I agree. I didn't follow that very closely because
No, it's pitiful.
These two programs are not identical.
This is what he does for a living, right?
Yeah.
This is what this guy does for a living, correct?
Yes.
Alabama beat reporter.
Correct.
And this is what he's going to come on the air and say.
Correct.
I mean, I'm just an average young truck driver. I could have done better than that. But, yeah, I think Alabama fans, they are now like the movie Braveheart, but instead of Mel Gibson covered in blood, it's Kirby Smart. Covered with blood with a wig on, racing towards him, and they wake up screaming, Kirby! And they say, what do we got to do? We got to do something. And we just hired Tommy Reese's Cup, Rusty Steele, and Nick Saban has indeed apparently left the building. Have a great day. Go Dawgs, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was really a little concerned about some of the logic that Stephen had. And it was like, okay, the answer to the question is Alabama wins the national championship. I don't know how I'm going to get to that answer, but let me make my argument. It's like 10th grade debate class where you have no idea what you're talking about, but you're taking one side or another. And I'm not saying Alabama doesn't have the talent, but they made all these changes, according to Stephen M., to keep up with Georgia. And now that they've made them, everything is going to work out perfectly. You have a new offensive coordinator whose record is okay. You've got a defensive coordinator who's now on his third trip at Alabama. You don't know who your quarterback's going to be. You're replacing the best quarterback maybe in school history and one of the best defensive players in school history, and everything is copacetic. Maybe it is. Maybe we are not giving Nick Saban enough credit. Maybe we should just declare Alabama the national championship right now. Augie is up next in New Orleans.
Well, that's a dumb idea, and I don't like it. Do not declare Alabama's national championship.
I wanted to do it. I wanted to see if I could sneak that by you.
No, Paul. And by the way, Larry looks like an ace all-time reporter compared to Stephen M. Stephen M., you had him on the ropes, and you were grilling him, and I've got to give you props. You didn't let him off the hook. I know he's a young guy, and you sort of take pity sometimes on your victims, but you let him have it, and hopefully this is a learning experience for him that he just can't come on the air and say anything without being challenged and grilled. So kudos to you, but we need to buy Stephen A. something to keep his glasses on. Either you made him really nervous and they kept falling off, or he's got some hinges that need to be tightened up.
Well, it's Friday. And by the way, I sometimes I get into these conversations with people that really annoy me. I really like this young man.
I know.
We've been friends, but I just did not understand when he said that Saban made the decision to get rid of O'Brien. And Golden, by the way, Saban said it. I don't think Saban wanted to get rid of Pete Golden.
It didn't seem like it.
No.
It seemed like Golden couldn't take the heat of Birmingham.
Well, Golden just got tired of the deal, and he bolted. But and O'Brien, it's not like O'Brien was sent packing. I mean, he's now the offensive coordinator of the Patriots.
I mean, he went to the Supreme League, in the Premier League, as they call it in the UK.
But
college football.
I mean, it's like, okay, Nick Saban, he didn't screw up. But didn't he screw up? Well, yeah, he did screw up, but it's not going to affect now. Because you know, Augie, you replace your coordinator on offense and defense. You change your offensive philosophy. You have the worst – on day one, you'll have the worst quarterback you've had in your system since 2015, without even knowing who he is, because you've had Jalen Hurts, Tua, Mac Jones, and Bryce Young. I mean, they're all you got three starters in the NFL and another guy who will be maybe the number one pick. But whichever one of these guys who we are looking at now in practice, he's going to make up all those differences.
Well, it's like I said before, Saban is like a deity in Tuscaloosa, and because he is who he is, and he's never gone 3 years without a natty,
he's going to win it this year. That's exactly what he was saying, and you called him out on it, and you could see his eyes roll like, oh, I did say that, didn't I?
I know a lot of unemployed, by the way, I know a lot of unemployed hedge fund managers who had the same philosophy recently.
So let me ask you this. What is your starting salary going to be, assuming that you did make a decision to hire him? What are you going to pay Larry to begin?
And we unofficially hired Larry, but we have a problem here, Augie, and I need your legal acumen.
I'm an employment lawyer. There you go.
Okay, we are not allowed to pay callers, nor can we pay guests. So we have to figure out a loophole, and I'm sure you can do that, being an employment expert.
Yeah, well, you know, Brams needs somebody to help him screen calls.
Right.
And, you know, you bring him on the air now and then. That's a way to get his foot in the door. Bring him up, you know, at the lower step. Let him learn the ropes. And then, you know, work him onto the screen. You can give him special projects. He can be the Alabama subbeat reporter, let's say.
Could we give him, could we do it this way? Could we give him an internship?
You could do that, but he would be one of the oldest interns in the history of internships.
Doesn't matter. But
it doesn't.
Because that's the only way we can sneak it through the, I mean, we have a pretty tough corporate policy here on that.
Well, Paul, I think ESPN can afford it. Even though I've read some very disturbing things about the future of ESPN, and hopefully that doesn't affect you.
Oh, yeah, I wish on a Friday afternoon you had not brought that up, okay?
I didn't know there was such a bleak outlook for the financial future of ESPN. But, Paul, I want to ask you this one question. I saw Saban's office in that interview he had with, I forget who was doing
Heather.
He's got a very classy office, doesn't he? It looks like a smoking room in an old English hotel.
Oh, yeah. He's got it all.
So who would you say has the classiest office of a coach in the SEC? Is it Saban?
Well, Kirby's got a newer office, so it could be his. I don't know. I mean, these offices are showpiece. The thing that where Alabama beats every other school is they have this – trophy room where all their All-Americans and national championship trophy. I mean, you walk in there.
You can't overcome that.
I mean, it is like walking you're in the West Wing and you're seeing all the portraits on the wall.
Oh, God. Nobody can compete with that. One thing, Paul, last night, LSU beat Tennessee 5-2, but it was a very close game. It could have gone either way.
Right.
So for all the people who were downing me about LSU baseball, it's going to be a tough next two games. And if we win one of the next two, I consider that supreme victory. Anyway,
okay.
Record crowd.
By the way,
I've
got you. We lead into the LSU game against Tennessee tonight. I've talked to the crew doing the game in Baton Rouge. They want you for the seventh inning interview about. They want to ask you about your calling them a fraud from last week.
I'm not walking into Alex's box without a big mustache and a bunch of Groucho Marx glasses on. But it's going to be tough these next two games. They could have dropped game one just as easily as they won it. But, hey, at least they won. That's it, Paul. Have a good April Fool's Day.
Oh, I forgot. Tomorrow is April Fool's Day. Thank goodness today isn't because we've already had a couple of segments that could easily be considered a joke. We will be back. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, the cliche is appropriate here. Hold your horses. We have the SEC Equestrian Championship. That is Monday night at 9 p.m. We have a couple of callers who would like to ride away with some of those horses. James is up next in South Carolina. Hello, James.
Hello, how are you doing, Paul?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah. I was listening to, I happened to be my living room listening to one of the guys talk about Alabama winning the national championship, and I think he's absolutely right. They don't give him credit when he said he had to go back to what Nick Saban was good at, and he's right. Nick Saban wasn't no more than about one or two plays away from going to the national championship and winning, because if you look at who Georgia played, TCU, that was a joke. I think that you can have a coach to change every year, because we did it at USC for 1981-84. And we came up in 1984 and almost won the national championship. We only lost to one team, which was Navy. We went undefeated. So, right. Therefore, I say that you can make changes when those changes are very small changes. I don't see where they're much of a difference. We're not talking about pros. We're talking about athletes who are college.
Fair point, James.
So listen,
I just questioned him. I mean, Alabama is going to be some people's pick. I think every time – I mean, the Georgia rush to judgment might be a little premature. Nobody's ever won three in a row, so I'm all ears. Thank you for suggesting that. Thank you very, very much. T.O. is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, I'm first-time caller.
Thank you.
I watch your show a lot, and I'm very interested. And I had two sons that played at the University of Alabama. I think one thing we have to understand is that Nick Saban had already set a high standard for any coach, and he's won 7 national championships, and he's did a repeat. So whenever you get into that, whenever you can match that, that's what matters. Whatever he got going on at 15-plus years at the University of Alabama, you just got to top that, man. You know, we get these people that get on here and they say all this stuff about Alabama is done and it's over and all that. We done did our thing. And he's still there. So it's a lot more that we had. And Paul, you know what? I like you, man. And you say a lot of things, but I know you're not. You're a Tennessee fan. And you're not for Alabama. I'm for Alabama. You know what I'm saying? So is this show really about Alabama? Is it about the SEC or what? Like, it's always about Alabama.
Hey, T.O., if I can ask you a question. What was it like to send your two of your sons there? Tell us about that experience for you.
They made it. They went there. They did their time there. They was good athletes there. They went on to play in the NFL. And I have a lot of respect for Coach Nick Saban for doing that. But my point is, I listen to your show and I'm like, you know, it's like everybody is down in Alabama, and this show is not about Alabama. It's about the SEC, just all the teams, not just about Alabama. Nobody can match Nick Saban's record. So he's always going to be the GOAT until somebody defeat him. So just leave that, let that be. It's going to be some good years, it's going to be some bad years. And we just got to keep it moving. I thank you, Paul. I appreciate you, a good man. And I appreciate you, man.
Thank you very much. You be well, T.O. Thanks for sharing that with us. Myth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Real quick, what's your pick on the Masters? Who you got your top four?
I'm not ready to make the call on the Masters yet. I want to make the transition next week. I will, though. Who do you like?
I got Rory, Jordan, Hideki, and Tom Kim. Hey, real quick, I was going to ask you also, do you think that the Stetson Bennett kid from Georgia, who's basically ruled the NCAA football the last 2 years, do you think that he's going to have anything similar to a career of Russell Wilson?
No.
Why is that?
I think he's got enormous talent that fits the college game very well, but I'm not sure he's going to be able to transfer that to the NFL.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is you give him a couple of receivers. I mean, you give him somebody like Tyreek Hill or somebody like that and he can throw to, you never know. My last question is, who's the sleeper coming in next year in the SEC in football?
Today, I would say Texas A&M.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Bubba.
It's me again, Margaret.
Hello, Bubba.
Hey, what's happening? That's Stephen M. Smith. I was kind of laughing at Larry's audition until I heard that guy. They didn't sound a whole lot different. That guy knew a few more of the players' names, but come on, man. Just because it's not good analysis.
Yeah, you know, I could buy Larry a game program, and he would have done better if he just had it in front of him. But I mean, listen, I want to defend Stephen M. I mean, he's close to the scene. He covers the team, and I think there is often I think sometimes, and I feel like I can say this, Bubba, because I lived there for 30 some odd years. I think when you cover Alabama, you can get a little bit too close to the sun. And you just don't realize that there. And I had the exact same feeling when I was there. You don't realize that there is a world outside of that zip code and that area code.
Yeah, I kind of get that, but I've got one question for you.
Okay.
If Alabama loses a home game this year, how do you think it's going to affect them and Nick Saban overall and their fan base?
Well, they lost a home game in 2015 and won against an SEC team and still won the national championship. It really depends on when and where. I think they could get away with losing to Texas early on and recover and have a big year. But the problem for Alabama last year was the second loss they had against LSU knocked them out of the SEC game. And this will be the last year you have to be in the SEC game because the playoff will give you some more freedom. But there is no route to the national championship usually. Now, as soon as I say that, let me correct myself and say that Alabama has won two national championships under Saban by not going to the SEC game. One was under the old BCS, and the other one was a couple of years ago when what year was that? One of the years that they did not play in the SEC game and still won it all. So it can happen, but it's not going
Paul,
to next
I'm gonna
year.
Paul, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe without Bryce Young last year, they would have lost four football games.
I would go one further, Bubba. I think without Bryce Young, they would have lost five games last year. They would have lost to
Texas.
Yeah,
you may be right, because he literally carried them in the Texas and the Tennessee game.
I'm going to correct myself. Four games, because the one game that they nearly lost was A&M, and he didn't play in that game. But
didn't play in that game, but he carried them against Texas and Tennessee and LSU.
I think they would have lost to Ole Miss as well.
He literally carried the whole team on his back.
Yeah, no, I think they would have lost to Ole Miss, too.
And I'm going to tell you something else. The Carolina Panthers are fools if they don't pick him.
Well,
but we know they're
Bubba, track Bubba, you've already answered part. You've already given away the predicate of your sentence. The Carolina Panthers are fools. Okay.
Well, they are. I mean, they are. We know that. That's common knowledge in these parts. But you have a good weekend, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. We take a break. We're heading to Dallas in about 30 minutes for an update on the two big games tonight. and we're coming right back with more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And let's check in with Darren, who is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Darren.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just calling. I want to agree with T.O. with his call about how the show should be more about other SEC teams other than Alabama. I'm a diehard Alabama fan, and I get tired of hearing Alabama. I swear I do. And it's like it's more teams than Alabama. Alabama's like, I would like for you to do a show where callers would call in without talking about Alabama the whole show. What do you think the show would be like if that happened?
It would be like the show the day after the national championship game when Georgia won.
Yeah, but Georgia won last time, and all you heard was still was Alabama game.
Darren, I don't really want to burst your bubble here, but there's been more talk about Georgia since they won Alabama.
It's always Alabama comes up. I'm like, well, how can we talk about Texas A&M, LSU?
Well, the truth of the matter is, Darren, that we do. We talk about every single school here. There's just a feeling among Alabama fans that it's never going to end, and maybe it won't. But in some Georgia fans feel like it's already ended.
No, I'm a college fan and a football fan, and mm-hmm. it's like I don't care about.
Okay, well let me ask you a question, Darren. Why didn't you call in today if you're such a big college fan, why didn't you call in today saying let's talk about Mississippi State's new coordinator or something? You're the one that brought up Alabama.
I just said,
not
let's
me.
Talk about Jimbo Fisher.
Darren, next time you want to talk about something, make up your mind before you call in. Big Daddy is up next. Good afternoon. Big Daddy, there? Apparently not. Paul is up next in Houston. Hello, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Well, thank you for
calling. Just wanted to say that there was a college team that three-peated. It was obviously not D1. It was D2. It was the University of North Alabama. I was there. So there was a team, wasn't D1, but it was D2.
When was that?
It was the mid-90s, I'm going to say 4, 5, and 6, something like that.
Okay, was that Bobby Wallace coaching or somebody else? Do you remember?
I do not.
Okay.
Sorry.
But you were there. Well, that may be true, and it's a great program up in the Quad Cities. However, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about
– I understand.
Division. We're talking about a different division. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Zach, who is up next. Zach, go right ahead.
Is this Paul Feinbaum?
It is.
Hello, Paul. I'm calling. I am a Michigan fan, and I just wanted to know if you think they can make the college football playoff again after that horrible loss to TCU. I mean,
I don't think they will, but I think they can. By the way, Michigan, I just saw it, was watching the news a minute ago. They just got a big commitment from a five-star quarterback who chose Michigan over Clemson, Tennessee, North Carolina, a number of schools.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Ohio State was on that list too.
The kid was from Charlotte, so it was a surprise that a five-star in North Carolina went to Michigan. But that's a huge recruit for Jim Harbaugh. Let's check out JD up next. Good afternoon, JD.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. It's good to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
My question, I've got a couple of baseball questions, and one of them is, do you like the new rules in Major League Baseball and how they apply to the game, you know, and number two is, in the SEC, we have a pretty strong league again this year. Do you see anybody that's going to be a particular favorite to yourself? And I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, JD, I do like the new Major League Baseball. I didn't see any of the games yesterday. I think the SEC, now we're about a third of the way through the SEC part of the season, and it's probably more surprising for who is struggling, the two most recent national champions. But it looks, I think most would tell you that, LSU, South Carolina, Tennessee, there are a number of schools that are in great contention. We have an hour to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.